In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I have said it before, and although I didn't say it originally, and I will say it again, the Gospel of John is weird. It's different from the other Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, you read through them, you get basically the same story. And in many ways, the more familiar story. As we're reading through this bit from John's Gospel, some of you, I'm sure, were probably thinking, wait a minute, weren't they in a boat? I remember a boat in this story. Nets, their father, walking along the seashore. Isn't that what's going on? Not in John's Gospel. Yes, Matthew, Mark, Luke, that's what happens. Jesus, we're going to hear it next week, actually, from Matthew's Gospel. And Jesus is walking along the seashore and sees James and John and Peter and Andrew in their boats. Not in John's Gospel. John's Gospel, Jesus has gone out to where John the Baptizer is, gone out to the camp meeting in the wilderness, and he's hanging out there. And John is saying, this is the Son of God. This is the one who I was talking about. I didn't know him, which again is weird, because in Luke they're cousins, and in John, John the Baptist doesn't even really know him. Who knows? But his point is, this guy in a plant, we didn't work this out ahead of time. I know because God revealed to me, this is the Son of God. This is the one. I've baptized hundreds of people. I'm called the baptizer. Come on. I've baptized all these people, but this is the one, Jesus here, who the Spirit descended like a dove and stayed with him. He's different. He's the one. He's the one coming to baptize with fire and the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus goes out, and he's walking by the next day. And this time it's Andrew who's standing there with another disciple of John's. These guys were already following John. But in Jesus, they hear John's message that this guy is different. This guy is beyond me. As much as they liked hanging out with John and hearing what John had to say, Jesus was something more. So they follow him. And I can just imagine Jesus walking along and then he's realizing there's two guys following me and wheels around. Well, what do you want? Rabbi, teacher, we want to see where you live. We translated this from Greek in seminary and it didn't make any more sense than it does in English. It's what it says. We wanted to see where you live. Jesus says, okay, come on then. And they go and they say, and it's about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I love that John gives us these little details. It was 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm not sure of the theological significance of that at all, but it's there for us. And they stay. And then Andrew goes and gets his brother. And again, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he stays Simon for a while. It's not until the confession of Peter that we call it, that happens way on into Jesus' ministry, that he says, you're the rock on which I will build my church. I'll call you Peter. In John's Gospel, it's the first thing out of Jesus' mouth to the guy. Oh, you're Simon? I don't like Simon. We're going to call you Cephas, which means Peter, which means Rocky. Except no one would go to St. Rocky's Basilica. But his name is Peter, and it's right here off the bat. So John's Gospel is different. And sometimes we're tempted to ask, well, which one's the right answer? What really happened? We don't know. And it really doesn't matter. Because the Bible is not there to give us historical details. It's there to give us truth, which goes beyond any particular action at a point in time. Now, yeah, some things are really, really important. The resurrection, for example. But whether Jesus called Peter at the beginning or later on in his ministry is not that big a deal. The important thing is we have these people who were following a dynamic, interesting person in John the Baptizer. Someone that people left the cities to go out in the wilderness to go see. They didn't just drive downtown and see somebody at a local church. They had to make a journey to hear John the Baptizer. They were enthralled by him. This guy had something. And yet Jesus walks by and they leave him in the dirt. Follow Jesus because Jesus was something more. What John was doing was incredible. He was getting people to realize they were not living the lives they needed to live. To get them to recognize that they needed to repent. to turn their lives around. Literally, to turn 180 degrees and go the other way because they weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. They were not right with God. And they had a burning desire to do something to show that transition in their lives. So they walk out in the Jordan River and let this guy pour water on them, showing that they were wanting to be cleansed from their sins and that this was the guy who could do it. And yet when Jesus walks by, they leave that behind because there's something more. And John told him, I baptize you with water, but this guy baptizes you with the Holy Spirit. It's a whole other thing. Jesus still calls out to us to be part of something that's a whole other thing. That just in the same way that the first apostles were enthralled by Jesus Christ, we too follow Christ. And we don't have the advantage of having seen him in the flesh, literally incarnate, the way these guys did. Instead, what we have are 2,000 years of the stories of people who have encountered Christ. They saw him one day walking on the beach or at the River Jordan, depending upon which gospel you read, and they saw something different. Instead, we have the stories of millennia of people who have heard Christ, have heard him calling, and have answered that call. And because they did, we too have heard the call and are able to answer that call. And now we go out in our lives and we keep propagating that call. Because as John the Baptizer said, it's not me, I'm just pointing to him. It's not us, but we're to point to him. Every aspect of our lives should be pointing to Jesus Christ. Not because we're fearful of hell or something like that, but because we're so darn grateful for what God has done for us. That we recognize that our very existence is due to God's love. That God created out of an abundance of love. That God redeems us out of an abundance of love. That God sustains us out of an abundance of love. And we are thankful for that. We should have gratitude just oozing out of our ears for what God has done for us. And it doesn't matter about material things or anything like that. We exist because of God. And we will live forever because of God. That God loves us to the point of making it possible that we can have eternal life in him. And not as mindless zombie servants just doing what we're told, but as children of God, as members of the family, as part of the essence of God. And not because of anything we're doing, but because God loves us. Jesus walked by and people started following him. We don't have that kind of charisma, that kind of magnitude, but we can point to the one who does. We can live our lives, or at least try to, that points to the goodness and love of God in Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.